Well, hello everyone and welcome to another edition of Back Porch Bluegrass. I'm your host, Paul Trenwith, and if you stick around for the next hour, you'll be hearing some great bluegrass music. And as a special treat, I have in the studio with me Molly G from Cambridge, who is going to talk about playing banjo and music and all sorts of things. Hello, Molly.
Hello.
Welcome to Back Porch Bluegrass.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, that's going to be good fun. We're going to talk about all sorts of things that that you know about and you'll be able to cool. inform people about, hopefully, and talk about why you're playing banjo and things like that.
Yep.
And I've picked out music that hopefully you'll either like or or could be you, or that's a good idea for a song, or you'll just like it anyway.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, we'll hear the rest of this tune, then we might hear some Rhonda Vincent. She plays some great bluegrass music.
Thank you.
Well, what did you think of that?
I loved that song. Isn't it very nice?
Great song, but I just love that banjo rhythm. It just locks
in. It's perfect,
in.
Yeah. Hey?
Yeah. Aaron McDarris is the banjo player playing that, and lovely job. The top break was just so nice. And Dolly Parton singing the angel part up there, it just sounded excellent. Yeah. Oh, well, let's listen to the next one.
I think I've fallen in love with that song.
Isn't it such a good song? Yeah, Brent Burke was playing the resophonic guitar on that. It's just so nice, so simple.
Honestly.
Yeah, good. Well, that's why I chose those ones, of course. You realise. And Okay. Well, let's get talking to you, Molly. That was Rhonda Vincent, I better say, and Rhonda Vincent's not in the studio with us, only by CD, but that would be interesting, and I'm sure she would like to be here. I have with me Molly G, young woman, banjo player, singer, country music, and probably all sorts of other things too, really. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Molly.
Well, hello everyone, and once again, thanks Paul for having me. So I'm 15 years old and I live in Cambridge, and I've been playing banjo for, how long now? Probably 4 years?
Yeah, about
4 years.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And I started when I was in Australia, my first trip over the ditch, and Mum and I landed over in Aussie, and we were about an hour into the holiday. And we got told, you go down the street, you turn left, and you end up in the dodgy side of town. And if you go down the street and you turn right, you'll end up at the beach. And we were a bit tired, not listening properly. So obviously, we go down the street, we turn left, end up in the dodgy side of town. And all there was a music store. So of course, Mum said, why not? We'll just go in. And so we went inside and had a look around, and the first thing I saw was a banjo. And I looked at Mum, and Mum was like, what? And I said, I need that banjo. And then automatically, the men in the music store were like, why is this, like, I think I was nine-year-old kid interested in a banjo. And so they came over and got it down, and I think I spent the whole first week of our holiday in and out of that music store getting lessons, and they were teaching me all sorts of things, except they didn't teach me how to wear my picks properly. I was wearing them upside down. But I fell in love with it and came home and went straight to Paul to start getting some banjo lessons, and it's pretty much gone from there.
Well, I'm delighted that you did. And I tell you, the way to learn any instrument is to have a desperate desire to learn to play it, and that really helps. And if you don't have a desperate desire, it's really hard to learn an instrument. And but I know that you like all things banjo. I know people like Taylor Swift help when they do their stuff with the banjo, even though it's a banjo guitar type thing.
That's,
but it's a
one.
Sound and and it's a look. And I've long been of the opinion that you need to do the apprenticeship on any instrument and learn the basics, and then you can apply them in a intelligent manner to the music that you want to play.
Yeah.
And there's no two people that are really going to want to play the same things. Even in a band, you'll find people have different views about what we should be doing.
And
it just happens.
Yep.
So you learn all the things that you can, and you've been doing that. But there is a real fun in playing the technicalities of picking, isn't it? And picking fast, and you do that really well. You can move your fingers fast, and once you can move your fingers fast and zap around the neck a little bit, all of a sudden the opportunities become amazing. It's good fun. I think a little bit later on we're going to do some picking. We might just talk a little bit more yet, or play another song. But even this year you've been busy. Now, you went to Tamworth.
Yes, I did, at the start of this year.
What was that for?
It was for the 2018 Senior Academy of Country Music.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a pretty cool opportunity, pretty cool experience. We were over there for 2 weeks prior to the festival, and we got tuition from people like Casey Chambers. I was in the band, so I was playing banjo and a bit of rhythm guitar when it was necessary.
Yes.
And, it's just an awesome learning experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
No problems accepting a 15-year-old woman playing banjo?
Well, yeah, that's the thing is, the academy's actually 18 plus, but they accepted me when I was the age of 14, and I attended the academy when I just turned 15. So I thought the experience would be, I don't know, a bit different for me. I thought that everyone would treat me, you know, as a younger kid, but they didn't, and the expectations were still just as high as they were for everyone else. So as nerve-wracking as it was, because I just wanted to make everyone proud, I suppose, being that young, it was still pretty awesome. Yeah.
There's a thing about music, I don't know if you feel it, but I certainly do, that once you can do the music,
yeah,
the age becomes immaterial.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I need a banjo player to do something, I don't really care whether the banjo exactly. player is 12 or 90,
yeah, yeah,
provided
yeah.
you can do the licks. If you can't do the licks, it doesn't matter whether you're 12 or 90, you know,
yeah.
you can make the coffee, you
yeah.
know. So age is transcended in most bands, and you certainly see that in bluegrass music
yeah.
in the USA, because there's often two generations
yeah.
in a band, and even if it's not in a family, you know, you'll get an old guy playing fiddle
yeah.
and a young guy playing guitar.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, and that's a good thing about the music. I'm talking to Molly G, and we're talking about bluegrass and banjo, and soon we're going to do some playing, but I'd like to talk to you about this lady, a lady called Alison Brown, who is a stunningly good banjo player
she
in the
sure
USA.
Is, yeah.
She was really Alison Krauss's first banjo player.
Right.
Obviously not for everything, but
yep.
She played on that Every Time You Say Goodbye, and she played on lots of other of Alison's tracks. Alison Brown is also a very smart lady, and now I think the owner or part owner of Compass Records.
Oh,
and
wow.
A very smart lady. She
yeah.
did a degrees in commercial banking and played banjo on
played
the side.
Banjo.
it's a strange combination of
it
things.
Is.
But she is a stunning banjo player, also with a sense of humour, because the track I've picked out, and
yep.
she's got great musicians with her, is one that she's called Girls Breakdown. And every banjo player who's studied bluegrass banjo player will know that Earl Scruggs is the master, and that's who you learn the basic licks
yeah.
off. And he did a tune called Earl's Breakdown, which has been one of the standard tunes that you learn. And and she's done one called Girls Breakdown, which is I think is absolutely
cool.
brilliant. And we'll listen to Alison Brown now, if I can just find the track. Here it is. We're all set up to go.
Oh,
it's good, isn't it?
It's cool.
Great, straightforward tune, and just plays it so well. Okay, you're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass, and we're sponsored by Shearer's Music Works in Anglesey Street in Hamilton. Go into the people at Shearer's, ask to have a look at their ukuleles and banjos and guitars and mandolins and violins and double basses and drums and keyboards and all that sort of stuff, and they've got all the bits to go with it, and tell them that you heard about them from Back Porch Bluegrass. Okay, you're holding a large round thing in front of you. We've got two banjos almost in tune, which is a miracle. And okay, we'll just try and get some level here. If you play a little bit, Molly, I'll find. Yes. Sounds good. Go for it. Go for it. Different, very, very, very funny playing in the studio with two banjos on. It's quite a sedate version, wasn't it? Quite slow. Never mind. Keep your picks out. Do you want to do a song for us?
Yeah.
Do you want to try
Going to the West?
Going to the. That's a neat song. Molly was looking for a song to a Western song to play in that category at the Gore Country Music Gold Guitar Awards in the middle of the year, in June this year. And she went down and we went through all my stuff to see what was appropriate and came up with this one from Laurie Lewis. And a song called Going to the West, which is a lovely story about that. I mean, it's such a good story because it's what happens in every culture when when one group of people decide that life will be better the other side of the mountains or the other side of the sea. That's how New Zealand was settled, you know. And it's all going to be better the other side of the in the future, and it's the and it sings about the problems with that. So let's hear, what key are you going to do it in? Okay. Okay, let me decide where to put my fifth string capo. Do you want to say something about it?
Yes, I went down to Gore with this song and a few other songs, and I ended up winning the traditional section, which was pretty cool. But yeah, it's a lovely song, and I have a good time doing it. It's really straightforward. It's quite a simple song, but yet it's really interesting, and it's a really sweet story. So I always love doing this one.
Okay, I'll just pick along in the background.
All right.
I should be playing guitar, really.
Yeah.
Are we in E or B? E. Right. Okay. Okay.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
In this feeling, you stay no more. Here, labor is in vain. You'll leave the mountains of our birth and seek the fertile plains. You're
That's a lovely tune. I'll just try and get this banjo off without destroying my headphones. Well, I think that's probably a first, to have two banjos accompanying a nice song. Yeah. Most people think that one banjo ruins a song, you know. Two banjos, no, that's really pretty, and it's perfectly appropriate for a plunky banjo sort of accompaniment. And you did well at Gore. It was good fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. And not only did I win the traditional section, I won a couple of other sections and ended up winning intermediate overall. So it was such an awesome weekend, totally unexpected. But, yeah, it was great. It was just a shame because Mum couldn't come down.
Yes.
But, hey.
Yes, I think she was hanging on to cell phones and trying to catch her. The Monaghans were down there.
They were.
Hayley and Ryan.
Yeah.
And their family took them down, and they were part of the whole thing too. There's very high standard down there. There really is a core of country music down in the South that just keeps bringing up lots of singers and things, and that's neat to see.
Yeah, that's
lovely to see. Okay, what else do you have on board? Or maybe, no, what else do you have planned? You've never recorded yet.
Well, I have, but not professionally.
Yes.
Part of the prize package at Gore that I won, actually, was a recording. So I do, it's an only acoustic one, though. Mm. I get it done over here, and then it gets sent over to Nashville.
Okay.
And they do the rest of the work, and it gets sent back to me. So that's pretty cool. So that'll be a goal, you know, in the next few months, I suppose. But, yeah, I'd like to do a bit more recording.
Yes, Once you go in, we've done lots, and... particularly in the early days, and I like going in with an idea of what you need to do, but so that you don't mess around.
Exactly.
But then at the same time as that, you hear it and you think, oh, maybe we could do it a little bit different.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're using up lots of time.
Yeah.
But I know one of our best ever recordings was one where we had lots of time and we did build things up.
Yeah.
But most of them we tend to have to go in and do it because you're paying X dollars an
exactly.
hour and it costs an absolute bomb.
Yeah.
Okay, the first banjo tune we played was Kentucky Romp, and that was a tune that I wrote, and it just happens to be a good tune for sort of pulling out a melody from and a nice sequence to go and good tune to jam on. So that's what you're hearing. I need to say hello to all the Access radio stations around New Zealand that are listening to Back Porch Bluegrass. Comes from Hamilton. Oh, got a banjo in my throat. And comes from Hamilton, Free FM, independent community media, but goes around all the Access radio stations. Thanks very much for either listening live or listening on podcasts. And I'll keep playing the music from my collection of bluegrass and hope that you enjoy it as much as I do. Well, let's hear... you're not the first pretty hot banjo player around New Zealand as a young girl, right? Okay. There's a young lady called Catherine Bonus, or BB as the world knows her, who is a stunningly good banjo player and has been back here, lives mostly in the USA now, was out here recently with her band Mile 12 and playing great banjo.
Oh, they were awesome.
Yeah, great banjo. And BB is delightful. And this is a 2010 CD, so she was probably about 20 at the time or thereabouts, and I've picked a tune called Wickstead Street. So this is BB, another young New Zealand lady playing some banjo. Thank you. was a little bit different, wasn't it?
It was very different.
She has done forays into all sorts of other musics, a lot of Celtic music, jazz. She studied at the Wellington Jazz School, and they had to call her banjo and guitar to get it in because no one had ever studied banjo before. and she's just obviously brilliant and is, but plays mostly bluegrass now.
Yeah.
But just a fine understanding of note placement and harmonies and things like that. So she does really great. I thought you'd find that interesting.
It was.
That'd be good. Now, if you you get to play sometimes at Morrinsville Country Music Club, sometimes at the Tauranga Markets, sometimes when there's a gig on, and occasionally with Hamilton County Bluegrass Band, we've done a couple of tunes, or sometimes with the Trendwiths,
we've done some things. Yeah.
I picked out a tune. One of my favourite performers is Patti Loveless. Yes, and there's a tune that we unashamedly borrowed off Patti Loveless because we thought it'd be a good tune for Molly to do with us, and we've done this with both Hamilton County Bluegrass Band and with the Trendwiths, Pretty Little Miss.
Good song.
You've played, so we'll play that. And then Molly has a particular liking for real miserable stuff. When I say miserable, mournful and that. So I've picked out a song that's nice and mournful for you. So we'll hear a little bit of Patti Loveless from the Mountain Soul CD. Pretty Little Miss, and then You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive.
Shady Grove, Pretty Little Miss, Shady Grove, my darling. Shady Grove, Pretty Little Miss, going back to Harlan.
So that brings back some memories. We've done
it
that
sure
a few times.
Does,
yeah. Could you remember all the words?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Now, you can play the banjo part in it now. I mean, normally I've played banjo and you just stood there and
sung
and leapt around and body surfed on the crowd and things like that. Well,
could have done that at Easter camp.
That time at Easter camp, it was pretty good. We had a big crowd and it's good fun with the Trendwiths because Sam sort of incites crowds to enthusiastic responses.
And young ones, too.
So it's all pretty good fun. And that's a good song to do. People love watching Molly sing that one. Right, I thought I'd play this one, You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive. A little bit of a preface, this particular album is really about Patti Loveless's background. She was raised in the coal mining areas around Harlan, in eastern Kentucky. And just recently, I've visited Denniston, the place up on the west coast of New Zealand, right up on a plateau, which is old coal mining community. Very similar to these places. And, you know, the coal mines in eastern Kentucky were deep into the hills and very remote. And, you know, rich people took the coal and the money out, and the miners got very little out of it and had very hard lives. Very much the same as at Denniston. And a wonderful story called Denniston Rose, which Molly is at present reading.
That's the one?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, for homework, isn't it? Yeah. You never knew Banjo homework was reading books about coal mining on the west coast of New Zealand, did you? And, very good, but it does elicit songs, the whole thing. Cam's written a great song about coal mining. There's others, friends of mine, have written a song about the Pike Mount Pike Mine disaster. Every coal mine disaster's got songs written about it. Patti Loveless's song "You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive" is very good and quite moving. We'll have a listen to her.
Kentucky. That's the place where I traced my bloodline, and it's there I read on a hillside gravestone, "You'll never leave Harlan alive." Oh, my grandfather's dead across the Cumberland Mountains, where he took a pretty girl to be his bride. Said, "Won't you walk with me out of the mouth of this holler, or we'll never leave Harlan." The sun comes up about 10 in the morning, and the sun goes down about 3 in the day, and you fill your cup with whatever bitter brew you're drinking, and you spend your life just thinking of how to get away. No one ever knew there was coal in the mountains till a man from the northeast arrived, waving $100 bills, said, "I'll pay you for your minerals." He never left selling. And old granddad knew what he'd do to survive. He went and dug for hard and cold and sent the money back to grandma. But he never left Harlan alive. Where the sun comes up about 10 in the morning, and the sun goes down about 3 in the day, and you fill your cup with whatever bitter brew you're drinking, and you spend your life digging coal from the bottom of your grave.
Good song.
Love that song.
You know all the words, don't you? Yeah. It's a great song. It actually get into the culture of it. It's interesting. I was talking to Colleen just a few weeks ago, who's lecturing at East Tennessee State University, and it's a bluegrass and old-timey music course, but an integral part of the course is the culture.
Yeah, of course.
And then once you understand the culture, the music and the songs start to make more sense.
Yeah, of course.
And that's really interesting. Anyway, I thought you'd like that. We're talking to Molly G in the studio, mostly live in the studio. Yes, we've played some banjo and we're playing some music that we both like, and I hope you're enjoying it. I'm going to talk to you now about making instruments, because unlike many other young people who play music, you've made some instruments that you play.
I sure have, yeah. It's been a pretty cool experience working with Johan, and you, because you've made... What have you made now?
I made
Dobro,
a banjo and
banjo.
I made those two.
I made my first guitar a couple of years ago now. It took 5.5 months, but it was definitely worth it. It's a funny process, actually, because the whole time you're doing it, you dread the sanding, and it seems like such hard work, and all you want to do is hurry up and have it finished so you've got your final product. But when it's finished, it's like, oh.
Should have sanded it more.
Yeah. Why didn't I do this and why didn't I do that? But so I made my first guitar. It's got my name on it and whatnot, which is pretty cool, because a lot of people ask. They say, "Oh, where'd you get your guitar from?" And it's quite cool being able to say, "Oh, well, I made it." Yeah.
Homemade music. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Johan van der Gaag has a workshop on the outskirts of Cambridge, and it's really good being able to make it there. Mostly of native woods, or woods native to New Zealand, kauri. And I know my Dobro that I made has got a kauri top. It's got regular mahogany sides and things. And
nice.
What's the body of you?
My first guitar that I made is like Pukiatia and Pururi. Both native woods. And I think that's all. It's pretty similar looking, you know. There's no diversity in the woods.
And you've made a resonator?
Yep,
guitar.
I've made a resonator guitar. That's really cool. I can't think of the name of the wood that I used, though, but it's really reflective. It looks like tiger pattern. That's really cool. I can't play it, though, so I don't really know why I made it.
yet to come. It's a lovely experience making it, and make at home. I make what I call practice banjos, and they're both for practice practice in making banjos, mm-hmm. but they're little banjos for practicing on, usually with nylon strings
yep.
that sound nice and quiet, really like a ukulele.
Exactly, yeah.
Call them a banjo-lele. And you can practice quiet and you become socially acceptable again after a while, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's good fun. Okay, what do you have planned in the future? What's the next few months hold?
The next few months, I've been keeping pretty quiet, really, and probably will be for, you know, the rest of the year until Tamworth again in January,
yes.
just because, you know, first year exams at school and
yeah.
trying to focus on that a bit yeah, more. School yeah. comes first. So.
You don't have much problem with schoolwork,
no,
do you? You
no.
do all right at that yeah. sort of stuff. Are you involved in sport at all?
I used to be heavily involved in all kinds of sport, netball mostly.
Yeah.
But yeah, music's kind of taken over. It used to be really hard to have free weekends because if you're going to be dedicated to a sport, mm. you've got to, you know, put in the time. And
yeah.
it's a bit hard when music is usually on the weekends.
It is frustrating that the
yeah.
two go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I know my grandson, Zach, is a dedicated rugby player,
yeah.
but he's also a dedicated musician.
Exactly.
It's quite interesting. The drummer in his band is also in his rugby team, so that really helps.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
that you can do it, but
that's cool.
there is always conflict.
Yeah, exactly.
As well as that, you break fingers and things like that.
I know.
Playing music and that ruins
yeah.
you for rugby.
Yeah.
Or is it the other way around? And something like that. Okay. And then you're going back to Tamworth. That's
yeah.
part of the prize.
Part of the prize package. Yep.
Okay.
And I've got a few people that want me to play banjo for them and whatnot, so that'll be interesting. Just probably start practicing.
Yes, you
yeah.
better. Yes, there's a certain lick that you're working on now.
Yeah, it is.
You getting any closer to getting that?
I am, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
yeah, yeah. The hardest thing is fitting it in, and then
it
you realise you can do it, and then the music comes along behind you.
And then you've
you.
Got to fit it in, you've got to practice fitting it in,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it's a real challenge.
Yeah.
Okay, we might play some Sierra Hull. Another
awesome.
Thing, a young lady who plays astonishing mandolin,
yeah.
has done at a very early age, and does some great music, and... this might be the last track we play. I'm not quite sure how long the program's going to last because there's sort of gaps and things yeah, that all have to be sorted out. But this is a track from the Sierra Hull Daybreak album, and it's one called Tell Me Tomorrow. If I've got the right track, it's got sort of slow phrasing over the verse
yeah.
and then faster phrasing over the chorus, which is quite a neat trick. So let's just set up and see if we've got Sierra Hull playing here.